Okay. Well, once again, you should have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. This will be our last lesson in dealing with the third component of receiving the instruction of wisdom, and that being not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I ended in our last lesson saying that I wanted to. Just touch on one other issue of the godly labor. When we put the whole package together of the godly thinking, living, and labor, and we really are functioning as sons with this information doing its effectual job within us, one of the things that you have to bear in mind as well, when we're moving the godly, selfless, loving kindness, and now the issue of how that has bearing upon our workaday world, being not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, it's being moved now out into your work environment. And I just want you to bear this in mind. It's going to be unavoidable and inevitable that with this third component to the instruction of wisdom, and I've experienced this in every job I've had, I mean, of course, being a pastor, but every other job that I've had that wasn't being a pastor, I've experienced this in every one of them. Just by sometimes, not because I was a son with or had proper sonship education at the time, but oftentimes just because I was a pastor as well and a Christian as well. But especially, more importantly, as a son operating in your job this way, it's really going to be unavoidable that with this third component to instruction of wisdom, somewhere, some place, and some set of circumstances that you're going to find yourself in, you're probably going to, more than probably, encounter your first taste of operating and of functioning as a son in the environment of, we'll say, potential hostility. Because you are there on your job operating with an amount of godly values for business that are not only counter to the world's, even though the world will use the same terminology, but in some respects it's even hostile to it. And so just bear that in mind, that you are moving out from the quote, friendly confines of the local assembly into the world itself. And nothing in the course of this world is going to be acceptable of sonship living. And so therefore, once again, you can take what you're taught here in verse 11 and you can immediately put it into practice in the labor aspect of godliness, serving the Lord. And this is, as I started out saying, it is radical and it is challenging to your thinking and the way, however long you've been influenced by this world. Because for one thing, you should realize it's not just those in the position, and this is something that oftentimes I be the brunt of, or, you know, well, it's easy for you to say stuff like this because you're a pastor. Of course, you're serving the Lord. You know, but this is one of the great joys of this, is that you should realize it's not just those in the position of fulfilling the edificational needs of the local assembly, the bishop, the pastor. That's my job. That's my job. That's where my diligence and where my fervency in spirit and serving the Lord, you know, is, well, yeah, serving the Lord. You're the pastor of a local church. But it's not just in those positions, or the deacons who are part of our assembly as well. It doesn't just lie in their jobs that are serving the Lord. The issue is any of us, all of us, and any job you have, any business that you do as a son, can be done in the realm of serving the Lord. So this isn't the market hadn't been cornered by the offices of the bishop and deacons. But this is any job, any business you as a son do can be done in the realm of serving the Lord. And really, folks, I don't know if you know this or not, or really realize this yet as much as you need to, but you've really been given a great gift here, a great gift of wisdom, the gift of godly contentment that comes from that wise use of this information, and the godly satisfaction that doesn't come, as I say, out of a bottle, out of a pill, out of a whatever stimulant you need to do to get satisfaction. And some people go through all kinds of things to get to seek out contentment and satisfaction. But your Father is showing you how that you could be even in a hostile environment and you could have godly contentment and godly satisfaction right there in the realm of your job. Because to you, it's not a job anymore. It's a sonship job. And that makes all the difference. That's why I'm the one that coined the term a sonship church. But your job now is no longer viewed as a job. It's a sonship job. And as you do it, you're proving things. You're proving that you as a son, you have diligence and fervency in spirit for business that not only matches your father's, but that's mandatory. Folks, that's mandatory. If God were, you know, when you apply for a job, I can remember looking at the first time I was ever involved in looking at applications. I was let in on that when I was raised to the rank of press room foreman, where I was printing, and then as a shift supervisor, I got to look at the applications. And I loved this one guy who applied, and the very first question on our application was, "Have you ever been convicted of a felony?" And the guy replied, and he said, "Not yet." I said, "Well, at least he's got a sense of humor, and you're going to need that for this job." But it's almost like your father, if he was to come up with a sheet that you were had to fill out as an application to function in the realm of the heavenly places, this would be on it. Are you slothful or not? Not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Folks, that's the general application to function out in the heavenly sphere. And your Father's training you right now where you can run into doors and you can fail and you can get back up and you can keep going and you can practice right here on this earth. Because you're proving things as a son that are going to be mandatory for carrying out God's business in the heavenly places. That's what we're going to be doing, conducting business. His business. You're proving that you've had these things established in you, and that's established and brought into existence in you by the viewpoint your father has, and now in the business that you've been entrusted with by a secular employee, you can prove true. You can prove that right there in that realm. Therefore, there should be real joy and delight in business because of what our fathers taught us about it as sons. And that should make it so that you don't wake up every morning moaning, groaning, whining, and complaining about going out and going doing your job. And I don't say that because I'm trying to say there's anybody in this assembly that does. You're all get up and go getters. I'm probably the one that needs that pointed to more than anybody else because I still have that fine arts bone in my head. Me and Helen, we like to stand up late. Cindy and I couldn't be more opposite. She gets up with the chickens and goes to bed with them. Well, that didn't sound right. but it really should delight you. These are things that you need that need to be shaken out in your thinking, and I guess the best word to use is settled in your mind, settled in your spirit, by talking to your father about it, engaging with him in some intelligent fellowship and communion and sonship prayer, and telling him how this means things to you, and allowing you to take time to think about, meditate upon these things so that they do become the living reality in your life, and you do have joy and delight in business. And your motivation for your job, therefore, is far different than that of the world's motivation. for doing their job than this diligence is to the world. It means something entirely different to you. What fervency is to the world, it means something entirely different to you. And so even though your work is for a, in some cases, a sinful, unregenerate boss who doesn't appreciate you, or maybe doesn't even think, as I said, that you're doing a good job at all, the point is, you can be satisfied, even if your boss isn't, because you know that you're serving the Lord in what you're doing. You're fulfilling these things. You're not slothful. By the way, it doesn't say you make no mistakes. It doesn't say that. It says you're not slothful, fervent in spirit. And those things become the satisfying issue when what you do is taking those things and serving the Lord as you do it. And that should produce delight and satisfaction. And even if your boss isn't, there's some, like I said, some bosses are never going to be satisfied. But you know that you're serving the Lord in what you're doing, and you're putting on display that you can carry out tasks at hand in the heavenly places. You can work and almost wryly smile to yourself, thinking, you know, my boss has no idea what I'm being qualified for here. And that one day, I'll govern in realms that he could never even dream of. And that's the truth. And by the way, that's the truth with some of the biggest CEOs, and that's the truth with those who govern this nation. You think there's an actual fully edified son in that Congress anywhere? And they think they know something of power? Always makes me think of when Pilate stood there with Jesus, and Jesus Christ gave Pilate a lesson in power that he had never even dreamed of. Pilate thought he had power. By the way, you can take this information, go back and look at that, and appreciate why Jesus Christ was saying those things to him. Pilate was in a job. Pilate was in a business. And he had no idea that that man that he was going to nail to a cross that afternoon, that his father created business in the first place. Jesus Christ schooled him in it right there, boy. By the way, that is the quintessence of being under control. When Jesus Christ gives him that lesson, knowing that he's going to be crucified on a cross, and he wasn't reduced to a... He had already been beaten beyond recognition. He wasn't reduced to a whimpering, crying mass of jello. But he had the wherewithal to be able to still give Bible classes. Little small ones, but he gave them. There's a lot of power in this. And you, as you do your job, your boss may be blabbing you and riding you and on your case. But with these things intact, the corner you turn is knowing that what he doesn't know or what she doesn't know is, I'm qualifying myself as a son in this work in ways they can't imagine. I'm serving my Father. I'm serving the Lord. You're putting on display, you can carry out tasks in the heavenly places, and that can be entrusted to you, and you'll be diligent in that, and you'll conduct yourself with fervency and spirit in that, and you will certainly serve the Lord in that function as well. And folks, that, we won't turn there, but that is why later on in the pastoral epistles over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, when he talks about bodily exercise profiteth little, but he comes along and he says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And right there on the work floor of your job, that should be daily with you. And it's possible that you can have a job where your boss, therefore, is not even pleased, but your Father is. Now, the opposite can be true as well. It's quite possible for your boss to be very pleased with you, but your Father not. And both of those should frighten you. That is, you should have great respect. That's the kind of fear I'm after. Well, anyway, I think it's marvelous that you can look at your job, every hour of your work can be useful to you as a son. Your father makes it so that every hour of your work can be useful to you as a son. It was to Adam, and it can be to you. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. All right. That's as far as I'm going to take this. And before we may not even get to this tonight, but if we do, we will. If not, we can certainly tidy it up on Sunday. So for now, are there any questions or any comments? Question. Well, yeah, I think it comes into the issue because godly, selfless, loving kindness is instilling in you the ability to make wise decisions based upon your father's values. And what's being driven at here is a value issue. It's valuing business the way your father values it, and he loves it. He loves the institution of it because he designed it. Now again, we're not advancing love at all. We're not advancing the concept of godly love in verse 11. We've hit that landing. Verse 11 and verse 12, but it's taking what's been developed in you and giving it a natural outlet to move out of the local assembly into the world. And it can have it in your job environment. Honestly, what I would, one of the, huh?
You haven't talked, like, what are you loving? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, when love is understood, well, it comes out of the love you have for business. And that's a funny way of talking about it. It's what we've been talking about is the way you value it. You value and esteem it.
Right.
Yep.
And then as far as the serving the Lord, it's like when you have thinking, you have that living, and you're doing that through method practice, that is serving the Lord.
Yeah, I mean it's almost a given. That's why I said it's the easiest one to understand. It's ready made. You don't have to really think about how am I gonna labor in this. It's the actual work you're doing. But you're doing it now because you have a master now beyond just your secular master.
So that's not the idea of your boss is Jesus.
No. It's not the idea of pretend your boss is Jesus. I want to repeat that one because the internet listeners will love that one. Yeah, no, it's no, you... No, that's some kind of goofy Christianized version of this. But that's not, no. You may be serving an unbeliever, and you don't superimpose on him that he's Jesus and I'm serving Jesus. No.
So this is dealing with strictly how we deal with business.
Mm-hmm. That depends on what your business is. I mean, if you're
or just like interpersonal relationships.
Oh, that kind of thing. Well, no, I mean it's how you're doing the business, not how or doing the job, not how somebody else is doing the job. But this isn't strictly addressing interpersonal relationships at the job. Yeah. But I can't help but see that this would affect that.
Right.
Yeah. No. No, you got to leave it where God put it. Yeah, and he's put it in the realm of how you go about doing the job. And you may have, like a housewife may have no, there's no other, she's the only employee, so to speak. There aren't any personal relationships to have. So, no, that's going to be covered a little later on. In fact, we'll get to it. Yeah.
Well, an example would be like if you're a government employee and everybody's having fun and doing solitaire and watching things on the computer.
Absolutely.
But you do your job and you know you're not going to be rewarded for that, but you have a job.
Right. In fact, you may be. Exactly. And that's a great illustration because you're touching on an issue where you could actually receive quite the opposite. You could receive criticism.
Exactly.
I was very fortunate in that I worked in, when I was printing, in a non-union newspaper. And we were heavily pressured. That we, being the pressmen, were all heavily pressured to become unionized. And you've heard me talk about how wonderful my boss was. He was the reason why we wouldn't think of unions. I talked to a pressman from the Indianapolis Star. That's the name of the newspaper in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he told me they're unionized. They had over 12 unions in that one building. And he said that they were running New Year's night, or New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, they were running the newspaper. And because it was a holiday, and there was something else that happened that they ran overtime, so it was holiday pay, overtime pay. They were making like triple time, all right? They were bringing that newspaper in about 45 minutes ahead of their deadline. They're running full speed. Now, this is a press that can run really fast. I mean, those big metro presses are incredibly fast. We didn't run that. We ran a community press. They're running full speed. He takes his line gauge, which is just a long piece of metal that has increments on it. And, of course, this is a web that's running through an enormous web. He took his line gauge, looked at his watch, and cut the web. And it threw that press into emergency and rolled the paper all up in the rollers. And all the senior pressmen, he said, I still got 45 minutes of money to make on triple time. They don't ever re-web the press. It's always the apprentices that re-web it. So they went and sat in their lounges in the break room for 45 minutes while they re-webbed that press, and then they ran the rest of the run. A son wouldn't do that. There's no labor law that says that you have to do that. A son would be diligent. That's a great example. What you brought up, though, is a great example of how if I was to do that and I was to say, no, I'm in charge and we're going to run this thing, and if we're done an hour early, we're done an hour early, we don't get that hour of triple time. But that's my diligence, that's my fervency in my job.
And you wouldn't be a whistleblower because you're not doing
it. I'm not blowing any whistles. No.
I mean, that's why you would,
but I would,
because that's the way you work.
Yeah, but I would probably receive the ire of my coworkers who are union workers, and they'd wonder what in the world's wrong with me. And maybe I'd be able to give an opportunity to sit down and tell them. But, we can cite examples. And I could have come here, we could have drug this out for three or more Bible classes of citing examples. But I don't mind you asking at all. But that's the kind of thing that I was saying, that you could receive some ill will by operating this way, especially in a world like ours, in a country like ours, that can't seem to work for more than an hour without getting a break. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? I liked what Cecil said. He said this should be taught in every business school. Yeah, I can see this being taught in the Harvard Business School. Although they did in their... years ago, they used to teach, well, yeah, they used to. They started that way, but they used to, even up until the time I was quite young, would use Paul to teach in Harvard Law School. there wasn't anything on this earth that produced more of an airtight case for proving a case than the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Anyone else? Questions or comments? Yeah.
I mean, well, you're saying, I mean, that's their job, their business right now. I can't even imagine the advantage now at their age, taking that into perspective now.
Yeah.
Over school.
Sure.
What kind of employees or employers they would be, or just generally.
Oh, yeah. When a young person sees this as their labor with their father, yeah, puts a new spin on math homework. If I'd have known that, I might have actually learned the multiplication tables in third grade, which I never did learn. Huh? Yeah. It's a great doctrine. But what you should begin to see is your father's wisdom in it. And I was going to wait and say this, but I might as well say it now. You remember when I told you how that this section of Romans from verse 3 down through verse 16 almost comes full circle? Well, instead of thinking of it full circle like this, put yourself in the center and think of it as a full circle this way. And when you start thinking of that, you'll start to realize for the first time I'm beginning to see what David saw in the 139th Psalm when he talked about, you compass me about the front and behind, you're being encompassed about. That's the way these doctrines come. It's just amazing how, that's why whether you go right, left, forward, or backward, you're always, wherever you turn, you're going to be within that sphere of your sonship life. And that doctrine is just created by a genius, the Heavenly Father. But this is a great one to have, and it comes at just the right time in the sense and sequence of the curriculum, and it ought to make it so that when you see what comes up in verse 11 or verse 12, you'll realize why that immediately has to come up next. Any other questions or comments? Sure.
So if you're an employer, this is how you approach running your business.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Every one of us have the opportunity to be involved in business, in busyness. And by being involved in that busyness, we are to have our Father's thinking, conduct, and so that we can labor with him in it. Sure it is.
You're responsible.
Yep.
So it's not even just you're a housewife, that's your job, or you work for somebody else. It's really everything.
It's what you're busy doing. Yeah. And it's to be something that you as a son, you as a daughter, you view it that way, whether you have one or two or three, but you view them that way. And you now have a mechanic. You have a mechanism and a means by your Father instilling this into you so that that becomes extremely profitable to you as a daughter and as a son of your Father. In other words, I know it's not going to be taken this way in this assembly, but it sure could be taken as bad in a lot of assemblies. In other words, there should be a seamless between you being in this church and what you do when you get up in the morning You're still a son. You're still a daughter. And what this does is it erases those seams where Christians get really, really comfortable in being a Christian in church and then being able to leave it at the church house door and go out and think and act like the world. Well, that is not what you're going to be as a son. In fact, the very opposite of that is going to be true. And if you can function as a Christian without any criticism of this world of any kind outside the walls of the local church, you're not functioning as a son. Because it's inevitable. It will come. You're jumping into the stream, so to speak, jumping into the river of the course of this world. And it doesn't like... It's just like the whole issue of the whale not being a mammal. The whale's a fish. It's those inroads that this world system has made that when those things start being picked apart and they start having light shine upon them for what they are and where they came from, it's not going to go down well. And there's going to be resistance to that. Now, granted, at first, it's going to be very mild. But still, a son, and one of the bitter lessons that Christians are going to have to realize if they want to join up with sonship education is this is where you really are going to do like Jesus said of John the Baptist. You're not just going to shine, you're going to burn. I reversed that. He said he was a burning and a shining light. You're not just going to burn, you're going to shine. By the way, that's one of the reasons why in chapter 13 you're to put on the armor of light. Because that's where you start shining. And that isn't going to go down well with the adversary. So, you know, it can be, like I said, the kind of treatment you could get can be very mild from, oh, he's just one of those quacky, goofy Christians. You don't want to have anything to do with him, to some more severe things. But it all starts off rather mild. And that can even happen in a home environment. Let's say that you've got an environment where a wife or a husband is a believer and a really aggressive son, and the other spouse isn't. You know, and the spouse is doing things like this, serving the Lord in what they're doing, and that can get aggravating sometimes to another spouse. He said, why are you doing it that way? Well, do you really want to know? Because I'll really tell you. Because I'm doing whatever job I put my hand to, not slothfully, and fervent in spirit, diligent, serving the Lord. It just has, that's why I said that I got to kind of leave this to your application. I like what I'm hearing because you're all thinking about how it applies, which I didn't go into a lot of that. That's because you all live different lives. You're the details of one of your lives is so different than the other. Any other questions, comments? It's good.
By following this girl that I am using love and kindness and diligence, is it just like I'm building my character in serving the Lord? Because some businesses I really cannot relate to it serving the Lord.
I think the problem that you've got there is kind of like what Bunny was making a distinguishing feature about, and it's not looking at the actual job itself as much as it is you doing the job as one who is diligent in it.
Yeah, but my attitude is the degree what I'm serving the Lord, because I am a reflection.
Yeah, but it doesn't just stay in your head. It actually is manifest in the way you do the job. You actually do the job. Whether you're cleaning or whether you're bookkeeping or whether...
I have people also around me would look at this person who is doing that job, that you might be able to influence somebody.
Yeah, in the majority of instances, that's true. There's exceptions to that, of course. There's some people who just... have their busyness is unobserved by very many people or any people. But the vast majority is yes. Yeah, you're going to be observed doing that. Yeah. And sometimes it's not even going to come up. You're just going to be seen as an aggressive employee unless somebody probes you, unless the opportunity comes for, why are you always 5 minutes early? Well, guess what you just got? You got an open door to talk to them about your father. Well, yeah, but this isn't to be done in the local assembly. Not that we're not supposed to be, because we could actually have jobs in the assembly and we should be doing it this way. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the thrust of what this is to begin to take your sonship life and move it out of the local assembly. It starts in friendly confines, but somewhere along the line, you've got to step into that world's environment. And here's the best place to do it, because this is where you're going to be spending the most amount of your time. And the exciting thing for you is that you realize that as a son of my Father, as a daughter of my Heavenly Father, there's benefit and profit in this for me. It's not just punching a clock and marking 8 hours a day until I get back to Bible class after 2 or 3 days of that nonsense. No, 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 no. It's not looked at nonsense anymore. It's looked as an institution my Father designed. I'm not saying He designed Honda Motor Company. I'm saying He designed the idea of a company. He designed the idea of a business to begin with. These people go out and form businesses all the time, and they don't start, their business school doesn't start them at the beginning. They started them at the beginning, they'd start them in Genesis 1, because that's the beginning of business. And what you're just describing there is the kind of benefit that you're going to need to be able to be utilized in the heavenly places. Because that, you could have said that very same thing about how you're going to function out there. That you're going to be a leader and your influence is going to spread. Yeah. There's a parallel training issue going on here with all this all the time, which makes it, that puts it in a whole new realm of appreciation. Sure, yeah. Because you produce, you make the business money, which is why you've got a job to begin with. I mean, you've got a job, I'm talking about from that worldly boss's perspective. The reason you're working for him is to make him money. If you're not doing that, you're a sorry employee. But that's really worldly perspective. Now you can take all this and operate on that, and you're going to get even better, greater benefits than those. But you're right, yeah. Because it's amazing how that a good employee will quickly latch on to these characteristics and say, sometimes he can't even verbally express, I don't know, you ever hear somebody say, I don't know what it is about that guy. Sometimes they can't even put it into words, but they want that person moved up. They see value in them, and so there's two sides to it. There's that side, and then there's the side where you can be in a situation where you're going to run into problems because you're all of these things, and the ones you work around are not. Anything else? Well, I think we'll stop there. On Sunday morning, I had the post-doctrinal exhortation yet to go, And that's going to be very brief because we're so used to it. But I do want to go back to Proverbs 3 and just remind you of the positive and proper response. It's my job to do that. I'm not going to be slothful in it. And we'll put this component to bed, and then we will begin to look at verse 12, which is the fourth component, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Another component of just 10 words. And we'll begin dealing with that one and keep moving on through this magnificent instruction of our Father's wisdom. And that's what I was going to say. I want to follow up on something just in case I didn't. When dealing with the love issue, really the overriding issue is, and I tried to use that chart, this one, to demonstrate, I'm going to just quickly jump through all these things, that as we see what our Father's doing here, we can't take the issue of love and make it override the issue of wisdom, because really it's wisdom. And we are being able to conduct yourself in the world at large, in your business life, and then with what verse 12 is going to come along and add to that, is really your Father's wisdom on how to do that. So what I'm more interested in is not so much being able to see how love plays into it, as that you do see that this is the wise way of my Father's wisdom to be able to conduct my job. That's the thought I was trying to, I didn't get said, but that's it. All right. We'll stop right there. With our heads bowed, Heavenly